Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take them out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, it is good to be back on the roast. Good morning to everybody out there, and Happy New Year to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. All the truck drivers, all the firefighters, all the kids sleeping in during their winter break. Shout out to the teachers who get a little vacation now. Shout out to the college football playoffs and the committee for getting this right. Give it to me. Scataboo. Give me more Scataboo. Good morning to all the overnight dancers.
Oh, you forgot about them, Hunter.
Oh, I never forget about them.
Was business
them.
Booming on New Year's?
It should be. I know I wasn't out and about. I was asleep by 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Scatter-booming.
Ha! Oh, that's Cam was there, maybe. Wallowing his
He was in Atlanta playing in the Peach Bowl.
Magic City?
Magic City.
We got overnight dancers out there.
Hey, they do. They definitely do. The wigs are popping. All right. Spinotti here for Shasky. Lutman's in the building.
Winning
damn thing.
I'm sorry. I keep watching the highlights from it, and everyone's watching it right now. Just the craziness of the college football playoff in that one game has made up for like some of the duds that have happened.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just the 4th and 13, zero. Cover zero blitz. Oh, my God.
Cover zero blitz. Here you go, Spadone. Where is it at? Oh, did we take it off the board? Oh, we took it off the board. Oh, man. Anyway, the 4th and 13.
Garrett Tessitore was on fire.
He was on fire. Look at the...
to up and in. But can they advance? Texas must convert 4th and 13.
It's a blitz look here. When you were trying to audible.
Thanks, Jesse.
To stay alive. Can they hook them? Touchdown, Matthew Golden.
I'm off. I'm out.
Now I'm looking. They just rushed 5. So they had 6 in coverage. They rushed 5.
Oh, that safety.
Maybe they should have rushed 4.
No, the safety, it felt like it was cover zero because the safety was just shifting over to the left.
He didn't know where he was going. He whiffed on that coverage there.
He whiffed. They all whiffed.
It's tough to say it's a bad loss because, you know, no one gave you a shot in the game and you were down by 16 in the game in the fourth quarter. You came back to tie it up. They should have won the game, though. Like that, at that point, 4th and 13.
Scatabu was throwing up on the sideline and then going out there and bulldozing into the end zone.
Like, but I do think when Ohio State plays Texas, we'll all be grateful that Texas State win it because I don't think Arizona State would be able to hang with Ohio State.
No, that's when it's,
that would have got ugly.
I think I get it, it's going to be a home game for Texas, quote-unquote home game, but I think we're acting like Ohio State fans, like, don't travel well. Like, they're going to be showing out at Jerry's World, too.
Oh, they'll be at the Cotton Bowl.
But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State also kick the crap out of Texas, too. They look like they're a level ahead of everyone else right now.
No doubt.
In the NFL.
Yeah,
college football.
In college football.
Maybe we get a Penn State, Ohio State. Maybe we get that.
Maybe. James Franklin?
I don't trust him either.
I don't trust him at all.
I don't trust James Franklin. I don't trust Steve Sarkisian. I got to trust Kirby Smart because he's been there before.
Yeah, I do trust Kirby.
That matters at this time of the year.
This is a big game with Notre Dame and Georgia today at 1 o'clock.
Marcus Freeman?
I love what Joey Galloway said yesterday at college football.
The gray beard?
Oh, the great guy. I love Galloway. I do love Galloway on the cover. Saban's great. The college, ESPN's got the college football. They got it down packed. But
Nick Saban talks about college sports like my dad does, with disgust and disdain all the time.
He is unreal. The way he moves his hands, the way he talks about it. Well, this quarterback, I'm telling you, dude, he is great.
His little Galloway.
But I do love, but I do love Galloway, who said, look, this Notre Dame Georgia game, the way he hyped it up, I don't know why it got to be like this. I'm a sucker for this stuff. But he goes, this is an old-school football game. Paint's going to be flying. It's going to be a lot of contact. Pads will be popping. Like, Ohio State hit the living crap out of Oregon. That was the one thing. They weren't just executing and taking deep shots down the field. They were smacking those dudes. They knocked the running back out. Tez Johnson was out for a while. They were hitting these dudes like they were JVs. It was unbelievable how much contact was being laid out there by the Ohio State Buckeyes.
They looked like that physical Urban Meyer type of Ohio State team that we saw a decade ago, right? Like, where they're just going to physical. They're gonna outbeat you with their just sheer talent and also their physicality.
Yep.
When you combine the talent that they got with the physicality,
oh my God.
Like what we see with like the Alabamas of the world, right? Or the LSUs, or again, the Ohio States, who obviously have been kind of a down period for Ohio State of just not winning a championship or competing one.
Right.
And they haven't competed in a few years other than the C.J. Stroud, which is it was an incredible game.
Yep.
C.J. Stroud in Ohio State against Georgia. Yeah. We knew C.J. was going to be a baller from that game.
Goal.
The kicker missed a field goal. And remember in that game, Kirby Smart was smart because they were going to call a fake and they were going to get it. But he noticed it right away. Ohio State is going back a few years ago. Called a timeout. Rest is history. Georgia goes on and wins the national championship. But you mentioned Joey Galloway, and we'll get back to the Golden State Warriors and New Year's resolutions here in a second. Joey Galloway, I know he's not remembered having a great NFL career. He was a top 10 draft pick. Finished with 10,000 receiving yards.
So Joey Galloway, whether it was Tampa Bay, Seattle, Dallas,
New England,
the guy can run a go route.
Yes, he's fast.
The guy can run a deep post. I mean, Joey Galloway was a problem. He had speed.
700 receptions, almost 11,000 receiving yards, 77 touches. Like, that's a pretty good career in the NFL.
He was no bum.
Okay.
He was no bum. And that's why I love Joey Galloway on college football. He's just chill, nonchalant.
Yep.
He tells it like it is. Dude. He's got swagger. He was a problem. He's got swagger. Yeah. I love the way he talks on college football final.
He's kind of taken away, or not taken away, he's kind of taken over that mantle. For a long time, it was
Mark May.
It was Mark May, and Lou Holtz, and Reese Davis.
Yep.
That was a great crew.
That
like,
was
they
a great
were really
crew.
Good talking, as I've heard.
Who's this guy now, the new guy? I kind of like him.
Oh,
he does it with Galloway.
Is it Matthew Berry?
Matthew Berry.
Or is it the other young guy? I always get him confused.
Yeah, no, he's good, though. He's legit. All right, let's get back to Warriors resolution.
But that goes back to, you know, knowing the ESPN talent anchors. We used to know him at the back of our hands.
Yeah.
I don't really know him as much anymore. SVP. By the way, rumors with Scott Van Pelt maybe taking over the Masters from Jim Nantz.
He said he doesn't want it.
He says he doesn't want that. So I wonder who the CBS will pivot going forward there. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, Nantz is done, huh?
He's getting older, man. He doesn't want to do his... Like, I don't think he's there with the Masters yet.
Berry, you're right.
It was Matt Berry. Okay,
yep, Matt Berry's good.
Because it wasn't there another Matthew Berry? Matthew Berry was the
football.
Fantasy, so that's why it sounded a little
love,
different.
Hate. I do love me, Matthew Berry. He helped me win a fantasy championship. Shout out to the
sometimes.
SF Players
Club. I feel
Club.
Like I used some of his advice today. It was horrible.
Yeah,
I went with my gut more often than that.
Shout out to the Wall Street Hustlers and SF Players Club. Let's get to these Warriors resolutions.
Please.
Warriors resolutions.
And what we were talking about, and we were talking about one for me was finding an identity before it started. And part of that is finding out who your number one is. And I would not fault Mike Dunleavy if he decided to say, you know what? I'm going to do a ballsy trade. Trade deadline's a month away. Zion Williamson's there to be had. He's a number one overall pick. He's a baller when he is healthy. That's a key here. But you know what? I'm going to move off Draymond Green. I'm going to move off Jonathan Kuminga. I'm going to move off of maybe
For Zion.
For Zion Williamson.
You move
Williamson.
All that for Zion.
It's a bold trade.
I wouldn't move Kuminga and Draymond for Zion Williamson.
Do you think the salaries have to match, and also
they do have to match.
Then also you got to have a piece that the Pelicans are going to want. Now maybe the Pelicans trade Draymond right after that, right? Like they do something like that. Maybe it's a three-team trade, three-team weave. I don't know.
Wow, but you're on the trade Draymond hype, huh?
I just think his value, Bonte, is not going to be increasing anytime soon.
No.
It's going to only decrease from here on out.
A championship team may love him, though.
Well, I think a team like the Lakers might love Draymond Green.
They might, it wouldn't be about, I haven't even wrapped my head around trading Draymond Green. I haven't even got there yet. But I do think that if the Warriors want to make it to the playoffs, something is going to have to shake. Something will have to shake with this roster. There's a lot of pieces that right now just doesn't seem like it's going to fit. But you know what? Let's see what Moses Moody does. I think Moses Moody's going to get a crack. Oh, 19 points, yeah. 7 of 8 shooting. I do want to see Mo Money. Ran into him before one of the games last week, and I want to see him get a shot here. I want to see him get a shot. Boop.
There you go.
By the way, I haven't talked to you about Bob Myers. Bob Myers, how about that?
He noticed acceptance. The drop. That was awesome. Him and Dave Fleming, to be quite honest, they're great.
And Bob Myers said, I thought it was a little, what did he say? What was the word he used?
Yeah, he used
I thought it was
word.
A little cruel that you used that drop.
He thought I was being mean.
Yeah, it was like,
do the drops, it's okay.
It's a little offensive.
We like to pat ourselves on the back around here on 95.7 The Game when we meet all these favorite people.
You guys love to pat yourself on the back.
I've talked to Jerry Rice, a couple times this season already.
I try to be as humble as possible, man.
Sure.
Shasky's the one who goes in to Kaiser Permanente once a week for right hand issues because he's patting himself on the back left and right.
I don't know what else he was doing there with the right hand issues. 888-957.
We may be a left hand guy. Who knows?
Relax.
Let's go to Christian in Fairfield. Here, let me click on this. I love it. You got it, Christian in Fairfield. What's up, Christian?
Happy New Year,
Happy
guys.
New Year, hey. Christian.
First, before my resolution, something's in this guy's eggnog with the Draymond trade. No, you can't trade Draymond.
Why can't I trade him? Why can't I trade him?
Because he's the reason Steph Curry doesn't have a scratch on him every game. Because if you foul Steph Hart, you've got to see Draymond. So you can't trade him. You want to be the We Believe Warriors, trade Draymond. And Draymond, when he was going to be a free agent, it was Warriors of Memphis. So he's not going to go to the Pelicans for the guy that wants to date strippers. Come on now. He doesn't want to play basketball. Ben Simmons and Zion Williams don't want to play basketball. They're just basketball players.
I'm lukewarm on Christian. I'm lukewarm on Zion, too, man. I haven't seen enough to make me want to move any big-time assets. We let him go. You let him go. It's resolution.
It's okay.
And Christian Fairfield, call back.
Christian,
call back because I want to get your resolution here.
Lubman's New Year's resolution is not to cut these people off so fast.
There you
it's
go.
Fine.
Yeah,
it's all right.
I thought
you were Joe Spadoni for a second. Let's go to Oscar.
There you go. That was pulling my Spadoni dropping, guys.
Let's go to Oscar Stockton. Oscar, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Happy New Year, Oscar. Hey, Bonte, I'm glad you're back. My thing is that I got a couple things with this. This trading Kuminga, Draymond, come on, for Zion Williams, like Stephen A. says, but don't stay off the weed. Man, we're not going to trade for Zion. That's okay, but I'm saying, Zion, I love Zion. Zion can't stay healthy. And for to give up on Kuminga, have you guys been watching Kuminga? We drafted Kuminga. We need to keep our homegrown. Kuminga is going to be the best one. Like you said, Bonte, I heard you when you had your graphic with 30 minutes plus. When you play 30 minutes plus, you see what he happened. He's comparable to all the ones in his draft class. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Kuminga since high school. We have to let Kuminga go. We got to let him play 30 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We're going to get into the playoffs. And another thing, Steph is looking kind of tired. People don't understand. He played the whole year. You understand me? Carried America on his back. He had a fourth child. If anybody knows about kids, I have four. Fourth child, okay, at 36. That's draining also. And one reason, the biggest reason why he's playing like this, he hasn't played without Klay Thompson in years. And we can say all we want to, the missing piece is a two guard, and we need that. And right now, the inconsistency, the two guard, that's what's happening. And another thing, we got to get Schroeder off. We can't play two small guards like that. Mm-hmm. Schroeder got to come off the bench. We need to start Moses Moody as a two guard or Kuminga. We have to start. We cannot start two small guards, man. We can't.
Hey, Oscar, real quick, I don't want to cut you off here because you're on fire, but then what's the move that needs to be made? Like, this isn't a championship roster right now, is what I'm trying to say. I would like to find out what this team is at the end of the season. Or, you know, if I'm Mike Dunleavy, I'm not going to have the opportunity to trade for another big star at any point. Like, I need to kind of do it now. So, like, where do you see this team at the end of the year?
Right now, I see the Warriors making the playoffs, but we got to understand, Steph Curry and Buddy Hield, all the team, this whole month, 25% from three-point line. You got to understand, our shooting is bad this month. And we do need to make a trade.
Right.
But what trade are we going to make to get another consistent score that's out there without giving up the whole farm? Come on now. The Warriors should be all right, man. We 500. We're going to be all right, man. That's why we got Steve Kerr and Joe Lacob.
Oscar, though, to Spadoni's point, and I'm with you, Oscar, to Spadoni's point, I think everything is on the table. I think when you're 16-16 and you started off 12-3, you go 3-12 the next 15 games, and all of a sudden you're searching and you make the deal for Schroeder, and it still hasn't paid dividends yet for your roster. I do think everything is on the table. You have to operate like that. That's how the big boys operate. The Lakers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, Oscar, everything's on the table. Now, I'm not saying trade Draymond or trade this guy or trade that guy. I haven't got there yet. I don't know what piece you can trade that's going to make you better. But you have to operate, Oscar, as if everything is on the table. You're going to take the phone call.
Oh, yeah. Joe Lacob is doing that, but guess what? We can't give up Kuminga, man. The rest of the players on the team, they got to start stepping up. They got Buddy Hill, everybody. They got to start playing, man. Or Joe Lacob go get rid of them. That's a fact. But you guys have a nice day, man. Go Warriors, man.
All right. Good call, Oscar. Let's go to Philmo Mike. Good call. We'll respond to Oscar and Philmo Mike. What up, Philmo? Happy New Year, man.
What's up, Philmo?
Happy New Year, brother.
Yep. For real. Happy New Year, everybody, man. On some real talk, though. I talked to you wasn't here, Bonte, but I told Spadoni, you can't let nobody disrespect you and say Spadone.
Oh, he did say that. I don't mind it as much, Mike, because it's something that was. I haven't heard that nickname until Steiny gave it to me here, which was okay. But I appreciate you liking my nickname or my last name that much, Spadoni, that you said, no, I got to promote that more. So Spadoni. I appreciate you.
Spadoni.
It is classic.
Spadoni.
We had that conversation on air, and then you going to let 20 minutes later, you let Bordy call you Sam Ludman in the interview.
No, real quick. Did you hear me? Hey, Philmo. Did you hear me? Bordy called you
Sam Ludman?
No, he called me Sam multiple times.
Over and over again. It was great.
Interview to say, Baldy, Sam Lubman's doing a great job producing the show right now. I'm Joe Spadoni alongside Joe. I said my name to him and he still called me Sam Philmo.
Oh my God.
It hurt.
Oh man, Baldy, what are you doing, Baldy?
Oh my God. Hey, with that being said, and all due respect to you, Spadoni, we don't care about names. We really don't. Like, we just want a winning culture. You know what I'm saying? I'm a realist. You're not going to win the champion. Guess what? You're not going to win it every year. Right?
Yep.
So let's just fall back, chill out. And I went to Sutro Elementary School, and we sang Whitney Houston. And I need Steve Kerr to believe in the future. I believe the children are the future.
Mm.
Steve Kerr, play Moody. Play the youngsters. Dive into it. He has to. I kid you not. On some real talk, when you're empowered by someone above you, you feel invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Kerr is not in. Tony is crazy, but she's right. Sometimes you need a coach to empower you. You feel me? Like when Tony be like, "What John Lynch does this? He's a power figure." I understand what she's saying. Steve Kerr, he don't empower them. He empowers Draymond. He empowers Curry, but he don't empower Kuminga and Moody. And I just feel like if he empowers them and believes in the future and the youth, it's nobody out there. I don't want Zion Williams' fat ass. Come on, man. He's a poop butt. He ain't no real baller. He don't love the game like Draymond or like a Steph.
Yeah, that's what
I'm with you.
Philmo, I haven't seen enough from him. I haven't seen enough from him to say, we want to hand the keys to Zion Williamson and run our franchise. I'm not a big fan of that right now.
Kuminga, I'll give it to Kuminga, not Zion. Kuminga cares.
Yeah.
He really cares. You can say what you want. He really cares about the game of basketball. You can see it. Some people would just be thinking about their tattoos, Eddie Curry syndrome.
Good call, Philmo. That's a hell of a call. Look,
I'm not saying it doesn't have any some drawbacks. Zion Williamson is a major risk. I'm not here to say he's not. A major risk. He's had a lot of problems. He's also when he's healthy, he at times is the best player on the floor.
Well, that's the
problem. On the floor.
That's the problem.
Again,
though.
On the problem. That's
he's
a risk.
Never
there's,
healthy.
There's a risk.
Like never, ever healthy. It's derailed seasons down in New Orleans. He's just never healthy.
Well, it's derailed season in New Orleans, because he is the guy.
I'll tell you this.
If
there's a guy I'm going to take it from New Orleans, it's not Zion Williamson. I'm taking Trey Murphy III.
Well, we're not trading him. What about Brandon Ingram?
Yeah, I'm out on him.
Would you rather have Brandon Ingram or Zion Williamson, of all things being equal? Because Brandon's not going to give you as much baggage.
I roll the dice on Zion in that situation because I already have a guy like Brandon Ingram or an Andrew Wiggins or a similar type of player. That's Jonathan Kuminga. I have J.K. I'd rather roll with J.K. But with Filmo saying empower, he wants Steve Kerr to empower the youngsters. What I do think Steve Kerr is starting to do Leaf. I do think he's starting to maximize Jonathan Kuminga.
He's spoke glowingly about him last week.
Not only that, he's giving him 30 minutes of action. And then you get Trayce Jackson-Davis. We're all forgetting about Trayce Jackson-Davis.
TJD.
He was reinserted into the starting lineup 6 games ago against Minnesota. Since that point, in 6 games, I've seen a lot from TJD. 14 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 2 block shots a game. He's shooting over 60% from the floor. He's running the floor. Look at these numbers that he's had over the last 6, Spadoni. 15-9, 13-8, 11-9, 15-9, 16-6, 16-16 against Cleveland. And he's blocking shots, and he's running the floor and dunking and bending rims. TJD, over the last 6, has played well. So that's another youngster who's been empowered, and he's playing 26 minutes a night over those last 6 games in which he started, Spadone.
I have liked what I've
Spadone.
Seen. Yeah, it's fine. Well, it's okay. I know Filmo did this.
Or Sam Lubman.
Or Sam Lubman. That one hurt me. Just he didn't call me Sam Lubman. He's calling me Sam. It's like, it's all right, Baldy. I've only met you like 3 or 4 times. But he meets a lot of people. Trayce Jackson-Davis has been a big positive this season for me. In a year where guys are struggling that had really good rookie seasons, like Brandon Pajemski, coming back down to earth a little bit, and he's been battling the injury bug as of late, it's been tough for him. And it was kind of like the summer of pods, if you will, right? And now it's all of a sudden like, is Brandon Pajemski is even going to be like a backup point guard on this team going forward? It's still early. We'll see. But what I've seen from Trayce Jackson-Davis, and we saw it last year too with him, he's not afraid of the big boys, Bonte. Like, whether it's Anthony Davis, who we saw sparingly in that Christmas Day matchup, he stuffed them. He was going at him. He wasn't mad at that. I've seen him block the Greek freak, Zion.
Yep.
Like, he's all about the big matchups and the big games, and that's why I like him. Mm-hmm. Because that's ultimately where the Warriors want to get to. And I feel like I could trust him in big spots. Now, he's got some room for improvement. He doesn't have great hands when he gets the ball sometimes and it gets knocked away from him. He's a big guy, so, you know, it's not the end of the world. But he does have great footwork, which I appreciate. And this was a guy that I remember, Jay Billis, who's Mr. College Basketball, knows a lot about these players and how they translate to the NBA. He was huge on him when the Warriors drafted him and saying they got a steal in Trayce Jackson-Davis. A lot of people weren't really familiar with his game. Yep. Remember his teammate, Jalen Hood-Schifino, who's already out, by the way, from the Lakers. Yep. Jalen Hood-Schifino, he was their first-round pick from Indiana University. So, you know, I like what I see from him. And I don't think they're going to trade him or anything like that. Is he untradeable? Again, we're talking about these trade talks.
But everything's on the table.
And what's your resolution? What I've seen from him. Yeah.
Yep. What's your resolution? Let's go to BPA before we get to Slater.
Oh, Brian.
BPA, what's happening? Happy New Year, Brian and Palo Alto. And I'm with you on Wink Martindale. I like that. That's what I'm talking about, BPA. Think a little outside the box.
I'm not going to do it. The more you antagonize Shanahan about his DC role, the more inclined he's going to be to keep him. Just out of spite, I think. Literally. My New Year's resolution is get Steph a second or third option and stop teasing article after article after article about the Warriors could be interested in so-and-so, which that's coming from the Warriors, by the way. Go get it. Go do it. Decide. There's no second timeline. Like, whenever you close shut the book on Steph, and Draymond, I guess, right? You're starting over. And, like, you know, Kuminga, it's not a matter of, like, does Kuminga have potential or whatever else. I don't want to pay Kuminga $42 million a year, period, for a guy that he still can't shoot, right? If he plays against a team with rim protection, he's really nullified. So, yeah, just get Steph a second or a third option, or ask him where he wants to go, send him on his way, and Lakeup can, he can make his bets alone with the franchise and the valuation Steph created. That's my resolution.
There it is. BPA Brian with his resolution. Warriors resolutions here. What time we got a break, love? At 27? Got a couple minutes here?
Yeah, I got 2 more minutes here.
Got 2 more minutes? All right. Trades. We're getting to the trades. There's a lot of texts that I do want to get to. There was one I saw from the 402 that was very interesting.
Love the Comcast business text line.
Love the Comcast business text line. But I'm not going to let it derail the show, as the boss man is probably somewhere around
he's
there.
He's not here. I don't see the boss man.
Yeah, I don't see him. Maybe he's taking another day off, huh? Yeah. He's been taking the weeks off. What's up with him?
He was here Monday, Tuesday.
Gosh, what is...
Oh, no. Did we lose our spot?
Yeah, I lost my spot. Oh, no. But there's one that I did run into now.
Uh-oh.
239. Always love these. New year.
Where's the 239?
Hey, I think it's a fake number. There's fake numbers that come in here, and they just text slanderous things.
Rick Tittle always used to say that's from Neptune, so I'll use that. I think that's from Neptune.
This guy...
Myers, Florida. From Florida, so there you go.
So here it is, a fake number from Florida. Bonte's New Year's resolution. Be the highest paid sports media member. Get his own podcast on the volume and upgrade to a custom Cybertruck.
I'm not mad at the Cybertruck. I think Bonte could pull that off great.
Oh, rough day for Cybertrucks in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm not a Cybertruck fan, nor am I a fan of the volume because Colin Cowherd. Now, I wouldn't say no to Buddy,
but I'm
not the biggest Colin Cowherd fan out there.
Maybe your working relationship could be different, Bonte. You
haven't had
the herd
with the hill.
Oh,
see, that's...
Come on.
That's pretty good right there.
The King's Podcast?
Good. Yeah.
Oh,
King's Cast?
Yeah, King's Cast.
Those are not my resolutions.
That's already kind of Sacramento, but yeah, we'll workshop it.
Well, they're the Kangs again, yeah. So.
Hey, my resolutions are lose some weight, get in shape, hit the gym a lot more. That's my resolution.
Go Fuel. That'll help right there.
Go Fuel.
That's right.
Right. Shout out to him. But we're going to ask Anthony Slater, what do the Warriors need to do here moving forward?
Slater.
December was tough. We all looked at that schedule. We were like, dude, December's going to be treacherous.
Last week we had a Mambonte. Like, I felt like Chasky and I were so, not mean, but we were really hammering because it was the day after Christmas, just the NFL versus the NBA. And it felt a little bit like Slater was taking it personally, how much we were saying the NFL's cleared the NBA with certain things. And he was having this bad... No.
Kirk Cousins.
I felt bad after the interview a little bit. I was like, were we too hard on the NBA when Slater's covering it at such a high level?
But the NFL game sucked on Christmas.
They did, but...
The NBA had better games.
But it doesn't matter, because they still quadrupled on whatever
the ratings are going to be what the ratings are, and I understand why people are going to watch football over basketball. But you miss out on you miss out on a great day of basketball. I'll just say that right now. You missed out on a great day of basketball.
And I don't want these people to miss out on a great interview next with Anthony Slater.
Yeah, there it is. Tune in for Warriors Live today as well, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. All right, what's coming up in the game? Sponsored by Safeway. Safeway, folks. Safeway. The one and only Anthony Slater.
Might be suggestible.
Hey, Roasters, it's Olazon, Bonte's flexologist at Stretch Lab. I wanted to wish you happy holidays and thank you for all your support you have given Stretch Lab. Bonte, keep stretching and keep reaching for the stars. Now back to Bonte and Chasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte. We are your biggest fans.
Yeah, that's just one hell of a rejoin right there. I mean, wow. Olazon. And the whole crew down at the Stretch Lab on Brandon Street. They're great. They are great.
Get stretched.
Get stretched, man. I'm telling you, it works. It makes you feel so much better, too. I'm telling you, when I'm on that table getting stretched, y'all are laughing at me. But I do feel like Kobe or LeBron out there on the floor before the game.
Who was Kobe's longtime trainer? The old bald guy. Who was that? Hold on.
Oh, I know his name. I forget his name.
Yeah.
Flip. Was his name Flip?
Hold on. It was not Tim Grover. Hold on.
Flip?
No, Gary Vee. Gary Vee.
Gary Vee.
Right. Yeah.
Gary Vee, the longtime Lakers trainer.
Yeah. Gary Vee.
Gary freaking
always
Vee.
There on the app, just doing whatever he needed to do.
Yeah, but Angela, Rikishi, all of them. Rikishi too. Rikisha.
Oh, okay.
Her father's
Rikishi
a big roaster.
Was from WWE.
Yeah, that's WWE. But Rikishi, her father's a big roaster. So
love that.
She knew. She just it's just Stretch Lab. They're great people, man. They know everything. By the way, Pro Bowl. Pro Bowlers, I don't know if anybody cares about the Pro Bowl anymore, but
what? That was me waking up from last year's Pro Bowl there. Yeah.
But just Five to name football. A few. Kyle Juszczyk named a Pro Bowler. George Kittle named a starting tight end.
That's about right.
Fred Warner named a starting linebacker. Nick Bosa named a starting defensive end.
Starting. Wow. I guess now that I think about it, all the best defensive ends/outside linebackers are like in the AFC this season. TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, right?
Michael Parsons missed half the season. He started in the Pro Bowl.
Oh, my God. You're right.
So there's that.
But that goes on the record. Like, that is a thing that they use. Like, I know we hate it, but, like, when it's the Hall of Fame time, they will use that. Mm. I know all pros mean more to me. I mean, we had Lomas Brown on last week, by the way.
Yeah.
Guy's, like, 5 or 6-time All-Pro, not in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. How's that even possible?
Lomas Brown was really good for a long time.
He should be in the Hall of Fame. I was just looking at all of his numbers. It's unbelievable that he's not. I was upset on his behalf.
He's legit.
Our very own Lorenzo Neal should be in the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah, Lorenzo Neal should be in the Hall of Fame. Eli's getting in on first ballot.
Oh, it's going to be great. I was so mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be mad because it's going to happen.
All right, I'm not mad at this. Anthony Slater's on the River Islands guest line right now.
Anthony's first ballot, not Eli Manning.
All guests on 95.7 The Gabe appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop Slates? Happy New Year to you, my man. You probably were in Sacramento. Were you in Sacramento last night covering the Kings and the Sixers? Oh, wait, we got to pot him up. Where's Slates?
Oh, no, Slates.
What's up?
Oh, he's back now. He was in the far right zone for a second.
We didn't hear a thing there. Maybe it was on our end. Were you in Sac last night covering the Kings and Sixers?
Yep, I was at the game.
So we get the Sixers tonight at Chase Center, so we'll get your thoughts on them and the new-look Kings with Doug Christie. They end the game on a 15-0 run. Very riveting stuff at the Go-To-One Center. But let's talk some Warriors here as they drop to 16-16 on Monday night. And, again, Happy New Year to you. Where are the Warriors at right now, other than being 16-16 and 8-8 at home? The trade deadline's coming up February 6th. Do you believe, as you take a lens to the Golden State Warriors, and you're looking at this roster after they start 12-3, what is on the table? Is anything on the table in terms of trades, roster movement? What's your take on the Warriors right now, Slates?
Yeah, I mean, certainly stuff's on the table. I mean, it's going to, you know, this will be a hot topic of conversation mid-January into early February, you know, deadline time. But clearly they're searching. The fact that they even made the Schroeder trade, like, morning one, when trades were eligible, should indicate something to you there. And I think what they do over the next few weeks is probably going to dictate, you know, how aggressive or non-aggressive the front office is when it comes down to it.
Anthony, we're talking about, like, New Year's resolutions, right? Like, it's just the time of the year. It's just what can some of these Bay Area franchises do right now? The word we kept coming back to with the Golden State Warriors is identity. You know, I would like for them to, you know, solidify, like, who are they as a team? And how would you answer that? If someone asked you right now, Anthony, to describe the Golden State Warriors, like, who are they?
What, Steph called them average the other day?
Mid.
Mid.
Yeah, both words. He used both. Yeah, I mean, they honestly haven't been average in the last few weeks. They've been well below average. I mean, their offense is basically like, you know, Wizards Hornets level. I do believe that they are, you know, play in, you know, maybe with the right move, with kind of, you know, an improving rotation, just better shooting percentages from guys historically who can, that they could maybe bump up towards six seed type, which is, to me, is the goal, right? You know, get in the playoffs firmly in the playoffs. But I don't think they're there right now. Who are they? They're a fading giant that, you know, is in year four of like a kind of a slow fade, while also obviously trying to build up this younger core below them. And they're struggling a little bit to do that. So, I mean, we kind of all know who they are because they've kind of been this for a while now.
Right. Warriors Insider here. Warriors Insider for The Athletic, also part of the Odyssey family, Anthony Slater on 95.7 The Game Insider on all things Warriors and all things NBA. All right, so let's get to Schroeder first, and then we'll get to JK, TJD, and some of the youngsters, and what may happen over the next 5 weeks. Schroeder, so far, the fit hasn't looked great, right? He comes from a high usage situation in Brooklyn. He's got the ball in his hands. It sticks. That's his game. He hasn't played in this system under Steve Kerr before, and he's struggling to start. He had the big three against Phoenix with a 123 left in the game Saturday night, but overall, the returns haven't been that great. What's your take on Dennis Schroeder in the addition here with the Golden State Warriors?
I mean, he's making 29% of his shots through seven games, which is, I mean, that's one of the worst, like, subsections, you know, small samples of his career. Like, we know that is going to correct just because historically, what is he, year 12 now? Mm-hmm. Nobody's that poor a shooter, especially like a higher volume type shooter. So he'll make more threes, he'll make more shots. And that will, you know, just generally make him look better. I've been impressed with him defensively. I do think he's kind of as advertised as a pest on that end. Clearly, they're pretty committed to, you know, making him one of their like real core, I would say the core six members of the rotation, which is the starting lineup now, which is Steph, you know, Schroeder, Wiggins, TJD and Draymond, and then Kuminga, high usage off the bench. Like, they seem really committed to that six, and that puts a lot of pressure on Schroeder to improve, because they got him to basically fill in for what Melton was supposed to be and was for six games when they looked so great early in the season. He's a different type of player. But, you know, they need him to score relatively efficiently, shoot the three much better, and you know, kind of organize and basically, you know, remember how well the Nets were playing in, you know, his short time there? A lot of that was due to him leading kind of a ragtag group. They almost kind of need him to do that when Steph's off the floor, you know, figure out a way to turn that lineup into a decent, efficient lineup with some pick and rolls with TJD, with Kuminga. And he hasn't done that yet, but honestly, I just think if 29% from the field becomes, you know, 45%, which is pretty typical of Schroeder, if whatever he is from three right now, like 20% becomes 38% or 35%, he was shooting 38 in Brooklyn, he looks like a lot better player.
Speaking of Schroeder's struggles, another guy that's been struggling mightily is Buddy Hield. I mean, for as good as it was, Anthony, at the start of the season, they were 12-3. It was the Splash Buddies. It was everything. It was all good. It's been just as awful with these last 15-plus games with the Buddy Hield experience. Just his shot's just not there. And I guess if he's a streaky player, that's fine. You're hoping the streak comes back around the positive end coming up here. Is there a possibility that he could be on the trading block for the Golden State Warriors here?
Yeah, sure. I'd almost say everybody besides Steph. Oh. And, you know, Draymond is very unlikely. I would put him, you know, single him out as number two. But, you know, salary matching stuff matters here. And, you know, all the guys that signed this summer are trade eligible. I mean, you saw them ship the Melton deal already. Schroeder can't be moved or at least aggregated in a move until right before the deadline. But, you know, I think everyone's kind of on the block in a sense, especially with how tight money is and how they have to, like, be pretty creative and how they build up these deals, depending on who they potentially go get. You know, if we're talking like a Vucevic, a Kyle Kuzma, a Cam Johnson, like you gotta kind of creatively get up to almost an exact number. And one of the things they do have is kind of like financial flexibility in that sense of all these guys on middle level deals, and Buddy Hield's one of them. It's certainly a tradable contract, so yeah, they're gonna be searching for answers, and they're not just gonna tie themselves to the idea that they kind of like this signing at, like, you know, a decent price this summer.
You know, Anthony, and we're talking to Anthony Slater here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 Game. We do so every single week on the show. Slates, obviously, Steph is dealing with the bilateral knee tendonitis, and at times he doesn't look great. At times he does. Cleveland, they're one of the best teams in the NBA, if not the best team. That looks like a championship roster right now. We'll see about them in the Eastern Conference. But Draymond Green, where is he at health-wise, physically? I know he had to close Saturday night after the win against Phoenix, where he doesn't, you know, he's not a big fan of playing the five, but he'll do so in order to win games. But how effective is that to play him at the five for more than, say, 5 minutes at a time or more than 10 minutes at a time? Because it does feel like it will wear him down at some point this season.
I mean, it depends on the opponent, right? I mean, you mentioned that Phoenix game where he played a lot of five and Kuminga was great. He, you know, it was Mason Plumlee and nobody else,
right?
were the fives. You know, he was guarding KD late, and you could be creative with the matchups. But, you know, if they're playing Denver, I don't know how much five you do want him to play. I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is playing really well. Looney's always kind of in Steve Kerr's back pocket as far as Draymond's health goes. I mean, it's clear he's banged up. He's on the injury report again tonight with a lower back contusion. Expect him to play. I believe he's probable, but it's just, you know, it feels like he's on the injury report like two times a week with something minor. You know, he's had the calf thing. Clearly he's, you know, physically at a stage of his career that, you know, not even just, it's not like, oh, it's just because he's playing center, he's, you know, getting beat up. It's just because he's playing an 82-game marathon, and, you know, he's an undersized big in general, even when he's playing the four. And he's kind of has to guide his body through this. And typically, historically, he's been really good about managing it all the way up until playoffs and being able to kind of put the full throttle on. But as we've learned as consumers over the last, you know, few seasons, like, the Warriors can try to manage their vets like Steph, like Draymond during the regular season, but if they don't put the pedal down enough in the regular season, sometimes you get to the playoffs and you're not in the playoffs. So it's kind of what they're dealing with. But the thing, you know, they got to maximize the amount of time they can play Draymond at center and figure out the right matchups for that, or, you know, rest Draymond maybe a little bit, because it's clear they got to get coming on the floor. They've realized that. They seem again to be recommitting to that right now, where they're getting him at least around 30 minutes. And it's just their best lineups is when Kuminga's on the floor and typically Draymond's at the five.
His shot. I want Draymond to stay aggressive offensively. I think the Warriors are at their best when he is aggressive offensively, but the shot has evaded him. What are you seeing with his offensive game lately in the month of December, Anthony?
Yeah. I think he's like 9-34 during this little recent slide. He's not shooting the three. Well, I don't know what he's down to from three, but remember he was really hot early in the season. And that was part of their winning streak. It was like, you know, you mentioned it, Buddy Hield was scoring like 20 a night in like 22 minutes, and Draymond was hitting threes at like 43%. And, you know, I feel fine. Like, you know, he is who he kind of is offensively. I don't think he's looking hesitant. I just think he's not hitting it as much. Defenses are going to do what they're going to do with him. But you got to kind of just believe he is. That's who he is at this stage. You just hope he hits a couple threes because you know teams are going to give it to him.
Speaking of injuries and statuses, Stephen Curry dealing with a right thumb sprain. Do you expect him to play tonight, Anthony?
Yeah, I do. You know, but it's, again, it's another older player dealing with the bumps and bruises of the season. I mean, it's always possible he doesn't play tonight, but he's clearly going through some stuff physically. He's not shooting the ball that well.
Kuminga, you brought him up, and some of the youngsters, TJD's had a really good stretch since he's been reinserted back to the starting lineup in the last six games. He's averaging nearly, I think he's averaging a double-double, especially coming off that game against Cleveland where he had 16-16. But Jonathan Kuminga, you know, it's a big, big 4 weeks for him, the organization, Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr. When it comes to JK, now you mentioned it, they've recommitted themselves to maximizing JK. Where do you think JK's at in terms of the pecking order, in terms of his play, his long-term future with the Golden State Warriors? Where is JK at mentally?
I think he's, I mean, if he's getting 30 minutes, good. You know what I mean? Like, if he's getting what, like, you know, the runway to try to prove himself in year four, by the way, I think he's comfortable. And this is, you know, he just wants like a heavy usage. Like, he feels like he's ready for that type of role in the league. And, they're giving it to him currently. So, I mean, that would make him happy because he, you know, he needs to not only financially, you know, set himself up here, but I just think he's like, he's really, he loves the sport and he wants to, blossom, and he thinks he's ready for that. And I think right now, at this current moment, it seems like he's been given the stage for that. The one thing I have really liked from him lately, like, he's getting on the line so much right now. What, 14 the other night? Yep. I think if you look over the last four or five games, it's like nearly double digits every game. You know, the efficiency kind of waxes and wanes, but I do think he's more committed right now to a healthier shot diet, right? Since Steve Kerr criticized him after the Minnesota game, where I think some of that Minnesota game was just, he wasn't that into the game because he had just been, you know, yanked from the starting lineup again, and it seemed like he was going to be playing 20 minutes, and he just kind of came out and was shooting the mid-rangers. I think Steve really got on him, and, you know, he since then it's been downhill, slashing, getting to the rim, getting to the line, and, you know, that's an effective player. And if you kind of diagnose this little patch of the season right now, what's going right, what's going wrong for the Warriors, I think Kuminga's in the what's going right category. I mean, I know the other night he didn't shoot it that well, but nobody on the team did. He was at least trying to, you know, he was manufacturing points by getting to the rim, getting to the line. So I like how he's playing. And I think, I mean, I think we all agree, like, at this point, they got to figure out who he is, and that means like 30-something minutes a night.
Yeah, 9, 8, 14, 12, and 14 are the free throw attempts over the last five games for Jonathan Kuminga. I'm with you. When he's diving downhill, not taking a shot, the three-point shot, when it first serves him, when he first gets the ball, and he's got that three-point shot, and he's passing it first, I think JK's playing at a high, high level right now. But what is a league? From when you're talking to your insiders around the league and you're talking to your buddies, how does the league view Jonathan Kuminga? Because we view him here differently. A lot of people here in the Bay Area believe he could be the guy who could carry the franchise once Steph retires. Some people think that you need to trade him and maximize Stephen Curry. What do league insiders, how do they view Jonathan Kuminga right now, Anthony?
I mean, it's all over the map, and it feels like it changes on like a weekly basis, right? And there, I would say, unknown still, which is like year four, like entering like a very interested restricted free agency, that's like still kind of a problem, entering like a, you know, a trade season where his name's going to be, you know, kind of bounced around. But it's like, you know, remember he enters the starting lineup with no Steph, no Draymond in L.A. Actually, he didn't even enter the starting lineup, but he played like 34 minutes off the bench and had 34 points. And I had a few scouts on the way out the door like, oh, that was interesting. You know, it's kind of seeing him, you know, going at Zubac late and kind of being featured. And then he did it again the next night where they were really getting him downhill, attacking bigs. And you know, like that type of stuff at least makes people who are, you know, there's always teams and people in the league searching for a guy who could really pop if given the right opportunity. And while I think there's skepticism at times on what he'll ultimately be from an efficiency standpoint and, you know, in like an ultimate winning environment, there's still like a load of talent in there. And on the right nights, he really intrigues a lot of people in the league. But there's also, you know, we understand what his salary desires are. And the fact that his salary next season probably, if he has his way, is going to bump up from, you know, single digits, like the nine-ish millions up towards, you know, 30 beyond, like that makes him, you know, that makes the league kind of question whether that's worth it or not, right? Like there's a lot, somebody is going to have to take, you know, pretty heavy, you know, like pricey risk on him. And I think that's what everyone's trying to figure out. That's also why everyone in the league doesn't mind the fact that, hey, play him 30 minutes so we can get information on him. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of a guy who you said what's going right with the Golden State Warriors this season, I think another guy you can add in there is Trayce Jackson-Davis. Definitely as of late, you just look at his game log, 16 points, 16 points, 15, 11, 13. He's getting 16 boards, 10 boards. He's going up against guys, albeit it was a small sample size, but against a guy like an Anthony Davis, who he's played in the past and done pretty decently against. He's obviously had some success at times. You know, you think of the block he had on against Giannis Antetokounmpo. You just think of a guy like Trayce Jackson-Davis and what his role could be going forward with the Golden State Warriors, Anthony. First and foremost, A, is he like a big part of their plans going forward? And B, just what have you seen from him this season?
He's starting center, I'd say like a probably top 6 minutes guy at this point. He's re-leaped Kevon Looney at this current moment. I think he was lower physicality, lower energy early in the season and getting pushed around a little bit inside. I think we all saw that. He wasn't running the floor with as much juice. That's changed since, you know, really a couple weeks ago. And he's been like, he didn't finish that well the other night against Cleveland's length. And that's a concern about him, right? He's 6'9". He's a little bit undersized when you go against the, you know, the giants of the league, the shot blockers. But generally lately, I think he's just, he's been better, more efficient, you know, on his finishing. And he's an intriguing player as, like, you know, kind of your spot starter or, you know, high energy backup big, depending on like who your starter is. And it's fine, you know, like considering the price, they have him at like incredibly cheap, like minimum type price over the next three seasons of control. Like he's who you want. And honestly, he might be a guy come trade deadline that a team might be like, hey, can you toss that, you know, contract in? Because I mean, he's a rotation big at a very reasonable number.
You know, Anthony, I heard last week they gave you a hard time the day after Christmas.
I felt like we did, Anthony, as a Spadoni, and I just felt like we were crushing the NBA right when we got on comparing him to the NFL.
Think about these guys crushing the NBA.
Those numbers hit later that day, and they actually came out pretty well for the NBA.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, compared to the NFL games, but, I mean, you know.
But the NBA had the better day. The NBA produced the better games, Anthony.
They did. And, like, yeah, you know, if I don't think anybody was predicting that they were going to outrate the NFL games. Like, reality is reality. They're not, you know, nobody can deny what the NFL is as a Goliath, but I think the NBA is having a good season. I'm intrigued on a nightly basis. I was at that Sixers-Kings game last night you mentioned. It's like, it's good theater. Like, now we could discuss the intricacies of like the length of the schedule and some of the rules and this and that. Like, sure, there's ways to nitpick, but I think the sport's in a fine place, honestly. And, you know, the TV money they just signed would indicate there's still a lot of value there.
No doubt. They're getting a lot of money for these new deals with NBC and Amazon, of course. And I do think the games have been, like, Sacramento to Philly last night was a good game. Cleveland and the Lakers the other night was a good game. You know, Boston's playing well. Orlando's playing hard and playing well, and nobody cares because they're in Orlando, but they've got a good roster. I do think the NBA, the Thunder are 16-1 in their last 17. Minnesota's starting to figure it out. I mean, Dallas, you got that. Cleveland, yeah, I just mentioned it. Cleveland, they look, Anthony, that looks like a championship team. That really does, man.
I'm still skeptical. I just, like, I'm like, they almost are going to have to, like, be holding the trophy up before I'm going to be like, yeah, you know what, maybe they are a contender. But, yeah, I mean, they look awesome. You know, one of the criticisms of the league is like, oh, well, the regular season doesn't matter. And like, I get that from like maybe the casual fan isn't tuning in, you know, tonight, for example, for Warriors Sixers. But if you're on the ground level covering this stuff like we are, like, this is a big game for the Warriors tonight. Like, it feels like, a lot on the line. Right. I cover a Kings team that's so panicky. They just fired a coach they gave an extension to 6 months right. ago. Like, you don't think the December regular season games matter to them?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, everything feels, enormous for these teams, even though it's an 82-game season.
To Cleveland, I do think they need one more wing defender. That would scare me. Isaac Okoro's a good defender, but if he can't stay healthy, I need one more wing defender on that team with Kenny Atkinson. And is Mobley going to do that in a long playoff run? But I do like where Mitchell and Garland are at. There's no doubt about that. Spinotti, get in here.
Oh, just real quick, as you were covering the Kings, and you did a great job as well with the Kings coverage, Anthony, with The Athletic. De'Aaron Fox, obviously, they made their bed. They picked De'Aaron, it felt like, over Mike Brown. Is that basically what it comes down to at the end of the day?
No.
Yeah. Is that not even close?
Nah, yeah, no, yeah. That was a smear campaign on De'Aaron Fox. He loved Mike Brown.
Him and Mike were fine. And, like, Mike's not, like, believing De'Aaron, pulled the trigger on that. That was an organization that, all the way up to the ownership, that just made a panic move. Made part of the panic move is them staring at De'Aaron Fox's uncertain future and, just trying to figure anything out during this regular season. But that was not them picking Mike over okay. De'Aaron. Because if I'm being honest with you, I don't think they're going to have either, in the long run.
Well, just real quick, just because I know, was it you and Amick that did the piece together in regards to,
yeah.
Rich Paul going to the games a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so am I reading too much into that?
No, you're not. I mean, he's like, De'Aaron Fox is certainly peering into his future and wondering whether it should be in Sacramento or not. And I think it's that future is going to come into an uncertain focus. I could see there being rumblings deadline. My guess would be closer to the summer. He has that, he has another year. He's under contract, but he's already turned down their extension offers. And the way they're looking, their record and, how sustainable they look as a contender, which he wants to be in a winning environment on a consistent basis. And if he stares at his current situation, I think there's understandable skepticism that it's there. So you're not reading too much into that. There's a lot to be read into that. I would just say that may have led to the Mike Brown firing, but that wasn't because De'Aaron ordered it at all.
Got it.
DeRozan unhappy? Was that rumor true about DeRozan maybe being asked to come off the bench to give them some bench depth and maybe open up the game for the starters? What's going on with DeMar DeRozan? Because I did not like that signing for Sacramento. He's a good player. I just didn't like the fit.
Yeah, he just hasn't played that well. He's older. What's this, like year 17, I think, for him?
Yep.
And, he's smaller. They need better defense on the wing, and he just certainly doesn't provide that. He'll have his nights. He's had some 20-point nights. But, I was kind of skeptical of the fit early on. A lot of people were, and it's played itself out that way. It just hasn't worked that well.
All right, Anthony. Good stuff as always. I'll see you later on tonight at Chase Center. Sixers in town after a brutal loss last night, but the Warriors you get back on track, man. 8-8 at Chase Center this season, 16-16 overall. Who would have thunk it after a 12-3 start? Slate, you're the best, man.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line, discussing all things Golden State Warriors. And he mentioned that everything's on the table, although Draymond's a long shot in terms of trade talks. Stephen Curry's going to have nights where the knees are going to bother him. Kuminga's, he's coming around. We know that. You just look at the league real quick on the Sacramento thing.
Yeah, that was
what I'm hearing. What I heard over the weekend about Sacramento was that maybe Domantas Sabonis wasn't the biggest Mike Brown fan.
Mm.
And Mike Brown challenges guys. De'Aaron Fox wants to be challenged. He got challenged by John Calipari. He wants to be coached hard. So Fox and Brown, hell, when Brown got fired, his last conversation with Fox, they were talking after the practice because obviously they found a 3-point shooter. So, but Fox wants to be coached hard. And Fox came out on Twitter basically saying, hey, stop slandering my name. You guys are blaming me for the firing. It's not the case. But his message, Mike Brown's, that is, it got a little stale in that locker room right away. And then when you got a lot of mouths to feed, like this is why I didn't like the DeRozan fit. De'Aaron Fox is your clutch time player. He won clutch player of the year a couple years ago. But now when you have DeRozan, he needs a ball in his hands. Well, what about Malik Monk? He needs a ball in his hands. Domantas Sabonis needs a ball in his hands. And guess what it's done, signing DeMar DeRozan? I think in a way it's taken away from Keegan Murray. You don't hear anything about Keegan Murray right now. He's having a down year. So I just think the fit was wrong, and Mike Brown was trying to find answers. It's a bad fit. But, it wasn't on Fox from what I heard.
Just – from what I saw from the article, again, that Anthony Slater and Sam Amick wrote together for The Athletic, it just, you know, you see it and you hear it, Rich Paul, sidelines, clutch sports, you just, your mind goes there, obviously. No doubt. But yeah, I mean, no one wants to be associated with something like that. And I don't think De'Aaron Fox is that kind of player, but to Anthony's point, he also just said, yeah, he wants to be on a contender. Mm-hmm. And the Kings, I don't think, are going to be contending anytime soon. It's just historically, they just don't. So, you know, you add him to the mix, but Anthony seems to think it'll be more of a summer acquisition than this trade deadline, because the Kings still want to obviously try to salvage the season somewhat. It just looks very difficult just in this muddled Western Conference. And I know I made the argument earlier for the Golden State Warriors. Hey, you're 2 weeks away from, you know, being the 5 or 6 seed. Oh, the Kings, hey, 2 weeks away. But I just have a hard time seeing them, you know, bounce back from this. Doug Christie.
I would be trying to hold on to De'Aaron Fox at all times.
He's the guy that can do things that no one else on that team can do.
Yeah, I would build around him. I'm not trading. Like, if I'm going to trade some guys on Sacramento,
well, I'm looking at, like, Malik
I'm looking at Sabonis. I'm looking at DeRozan. I'm looking at some. Like, I got to build this thing. Let me build around Fox and Keegan Murray and even Malik Monk. I don't mind Malik Monk on that roster, but something's got to give. And
well,
if DeRozan
fits, he can net you something. I'm saying,
net you something. Oh, yeah, Malik.
Maybe.
Yeah. He can net you something.
His contract's not horrible to where I could trade off that. And if I'm a contender, mm-hmm. I'd be like, that's a great piece off the bench for me that I could boost up like a super sixth man.
Yeah, no. Signing DeMar DeRozan, where he operates in a mid-range game, it did not make a lot of